Thank you for coming by. Now, I just made the comment that we were getting very ahead of ourselves to even know. That would be addressed at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to not do
that. But I could tell you about that guy that I met at the show this weekend that his girlfriend yelled at me.
We should totally talk about that. Have we done the legal? Oh, yeah, we did. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Hello. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Here in just a short while, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who is in Damascus. We've also got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up later on. The Stormwatch, presumably sometime this segment. It's always a little, it's kind of a touch and go with her because I know that she does, you know, other interviews. The life of the mansion is a little bit tricky, and I know that the demands on their time are a little bit, because I know they were in the studio a lot, like the last week or two, like listening to some stuff from Supernova. So anyway.
Well, you know, Jess just keeps censoring more and more of what she says the closer it gets. So it gets a little more awkward to talk to her.
Well, that's the thing is, like, because there's only so much we can ask her.
Because it's not her, but it's like you can hear the woman breathing next to her.
I talked to Davey about that it's, and he said the same thing because, you know, his phone call, even his personal phone calls to her, most of them are monitored really heavily, I think, if not all of them. And you can feel the presence. When you talk to Storm, you can, and you all probably, in the audience you can tell, you can hear the presence of that CBS person on the, whoever it is, on the, sitting right next to her with like a kill button in their hand, just waiting for me to ask the wrong thing, waiting for Storm to inadvertently, it's like talking to somebody, in prison, you know what I mean? And you're sitting on the other side of the glass and I'm smuggling the file inside the click, gone, you know, so that's it. So we'll have Storm sometime in this segment. By the way, if you've got a question for Storm Large, from Rockstar Supernova, please now to be emailing it to Rick at RickEmerson.com. If you have a question for Storm Large, email that to Rick at RickEmerson.com. Because I'm not entirely sure if we'll have time to take questions live on the air for her or not. So if you have a question for Storm Large, email that to Rick at RickEmerson.com. So we will have the Stormwatch later on in this segment, followed by the world premiere of the brand new single from Storm and the Balls. So from their upcoming but indefinitely delayed CD, Blue. So all of that on the way. And later on, some other what's-its and so forth. I just kind of petered out there at the end with nothing.
You really did. What type of questions?
I just, I don't know. I just
have no more questions about wedding cake.
I just sort of faded away into a whole lot of.
Maybe we could talk about asking about Hezbollah or the guards at Guantanamo Bay.
Every time I say Hezbollah, I think of Ebola. And then it's just a whole lot of bleeding from the eyes. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard joining us now from Damascus. How are you, Lisa? Oh, no. You're no longer in Damascus. I had it right the first time.
That's right, exactly. I'm in Jerusalem. I'm back in Jerusalem.
All right, okay.
That's just
so I can talk freely now. I don't have to make strange references to Jerusalem anymore like I was before.
Is that true? While you were in Damascus, were you having to be very oblique with how you referred to Jerusalem?
Yeah, I don't even know if you noticed on your show, but I was doing that when you said, oh, you were in Jerusalem.
No, because you're such a pro. You know.
Well, I don't, you know, I would say, oh, the place I was before, where I used to be. But it's interesting, Americans in Damascus have a code, and often they refer to Jerusalem as Disneyland. And
is that true?
I'm going to Disneyland.
Really?
Yeah.
How did, from whence did that derive?
I truly do not know. I wish I could have found out, but that's what they say. And some of them refer to the Israeli Defense Forces. I don't know if this is meant pejoratively, but they refer to it as the Mickey Mouse Club.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
So let's backtrack a little bit, because I said I didn't have the prep sheet in front of me, and I said earlier, I said, oh, Lisa Goddard's going to be in Israel, and I stopped, and I corrected myself, and I said, no, Syria, but it is Israel. So you were, now, so when you were in Damascus, you were in Syria, this sounds like a really dumb question, but I mean, you are presumably, you're an American, you're a journalist, you are presumably, an objective view would put you as an independent observer of this. What were the restrictions put on you, and specifically by whom?
You know, honestly, there were no restrictions upon my movements. I could interview basically whoever I wanted to interview. The only real effect it had on me was I had a very long morning at the information ministry when I was trying to get permission to do interviews and just be in the area. And then I also had my friend Rashid, the helper from the information ministry, go with me on my interviews. And he didn't have to go on all of them. I did some without him, but it was clear that they preferred him to be there. And it was fascinating because the first day, he was taping my interviews as well. And he was saying, oh, I'm taping this for me so that I can get this. But I noticed the tape recorder, of course, was right next to me and not near the person that I was interviewing.
It was very, very unnerving to hear the my friend Rashid from the information ministry. I mean, it's very Orwellian, the whole thing.
It was very Orwellian, and it was strange also because Rashid honestly did tell me things that I think the information ministry didn't necessarily want him to say. And he seemed by the end to, I think he was really playing it straight with me, and he said he hadn't done this for a couple of years. Now, that was interesting, too. Hadn't done what? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, be following people, you know, and he just didn't want to talk about it. But by the end, I did meet his family, and I feel like I did make a good connection with him. He leads a strange life because it's sort of duplicitous.
Do you get the feeling that you get... How do I put this? Do you get the feeling that someone who is high up in the information ministry of any country like that, do you feel like, I don't know, like that's a guy who spent some time in a basement with a guy in a rubber hose? Is that just sort of a given with somebody who works in an information ministry?
You know, I just don't know enough about Syria to know. It's really hard to say. They really did not restrict my movements, and that was the number one sign. I think when you hear about Soviet Russia, they did know exactly where you were, when you were there, and sometimes they'd get there before you. But it didn't have that feeling in Syria.
Was there prior restraint given on some of your language? In other words, did they specifically tell you do not refer to Jerusalem or Israel?
No, they didn't. But, you know, the trick with that is that you're not allowed in Syria if you've ever been to Israel.
If you really?
Have an Israeli stamp in your passport.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true. If you have an Israeli stamp in your passport, it will not let you into Syria. That's why people don't refer to it. You don't talk about ever going there.
I see.
You want to be able to get back.
Well, so what, speaking of Israel, so there was this business where they were going to halt the airstrikes in Lebanon or southern Lebanon for 48 hours. Did that happen?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Israel did have at least two airstrikes. One of them, they say, was within their parameters. You know, when they set up this 48-hour deal, they said, hey, we'll still launch airstrikes if we're under imminent attack. And they say, in fact, ground forces were engaged in fighting, and so they dropped some bombs because of that. But the other airstrike, Israel has already apologized for, calling it basically a mistake. They hit a Lebanese army general's car, and they killed his aide. Now, that's very serious. They've hit other Lebanese military, other Lebanese soldiers before, but this clearly is a top-level aide in the Lebanese army. And, you know, this just adds to the theory in Lebanon, many people growing, that people there are saying Israel is not just fighting Hezbollah. Israel is trying to fight Lebanon. Now, Israel says that's not true, but people who want to, I think, increase the rhetoric and really push the Arab world against Israel can point to this and say, look, they killed an army general aide. What do you want? So it's very dangerous, and this is, of course, one in a series of mistakes that Israel has made. Killing civilians in Khanna, killing four UN observers, you know, Israel, if they're watching their step, they're not watching it very carefully.
I was just going to say, and this is a very tricky question to ask, but I mean, I'm not asking you even really to weigh in with a definitive answer on this, if there is one, but I mean, it makes you wonder, to what extent is it truly a mistake, or is it a... Look, we've got a job to do, and if we inadvertently color outside the lines, we'll apologize afterward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is what it is. It's a matter of priorities. Israel is saying that we don't want this damage, we don't want to hurt civilians, but our number one priority here is to protect our country. And then on the other side, but I think this is a different level of rhetoric. They are saying it's Hezbollah's fault. Hezbollah is in this area. They are putting civilians at risk. And they're saying things like Hezbollah does not care about women and children, Hezbollah, those kinds of things, which any supporter of Hezbollah would deny vehemently and would say is just not true. But Israel is saying it's Hezbollah's fault, and they're also saying, besides that, our number one priority is to protect our citizens. We don't want to hurt anybody, but we have to do that first.
All right. Well, stay safe. We will talk to you very soon. When is it you're out of there and starting your combat training?
Yeah, tomorrow's my last day reporting, and then I fly back Wednesday, and then I start combat training. I actually have a vacation. plan.
That's amazing.
Well, sort of. I'm actually going to help my boyfriend's grandmother clean her basement.
Oh, sounds fascinating. But, sounds like every woman's...
I'm at that phase now.
Every woman's dream vacation.
So, but then after that, that'll be a week, and then that next week I go to combat training.
All right. Well, we will talk to you soon. Stay safe, Lisa. Thank you.
Take care, Rick.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard in Jerusalem, where apparently if you go, you can then never go anywhere else over there. It's all very strange.
Maybe she'll send you something from the gift shop.
Maybe she'll send me something from her boyfriend's grandmother's basement. Maybe she'll send me a hand in a jar of formaldehyde. It's 503-733-2970. So at some point, I believe in this segment, we'll be welcoming Storm Large from Rockstar Supernova. We also have the new single from Storm and the Balls that we'll be rolling out later on. It's 503-733-2970. We should go back to Tim Riley at the City Desk, ladies and gentlemen, here on this Monday.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. The prisoners held at Guantanamo Bay have attacked their military guards hundreds of times, turning broken toilet seats, utensils, radios, even a bloody lizard tail into makeshift weapons. Apparently, the guards have been routinely headbutted, spat upon, and doused with cocktails of feces, urine, vomit, and sperm collected in metal cups by the prisoners. They were reportedly grabbed, punched, and assaulted.
Okay.
And they reached through small bean holes used to deliver food and blankets through cell doors.
Small bean holes. There's so many jokes I could make there, and they're all so inappropriate.
There have been 232 attacks with bodily fluids since they began counting.
Okay. And makes you wonder exactly how many times did it happen. Like, at what point did they figure out that they needed to keep tally of that, and why? All right. So there you go. By the way, as you were going into that story, every time you took a hairpin turn, I didn't think it could possibly get any worse.
Oh, it gets worse all the time.
Bloody lizard tail. Mm-hmm. All right, it's 503-733.
With the metal cups full of...
Well, that's what I'm saying. As soon as he got to the cocktail and then... The words cocktail and feces, and I thought, well, this is it. We've hit the rock layer. There's no further down we can go here, but no, I was proven egregiously incorrect. I'm looking over here at the script. So, Scotty, was that Storm or her people? And we kind of go through this every week because the times are just such a an amorphous thing because there's so many variables at the lineup every time we talk to Storm on Monday. So, looking now at the screen. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. No, that was Laura from CNN. What did Laura from CNN want? Was she calling to complain about Sarah in some fashion?
Oh, God.
Well, you said that she sounded nuttier lately
anyway.
She sounded
weird today.
Yeah, like she's gone off her meds?
No, she sounded really, really, like she was talking in a super low voice.
Oh.
That's where she was feeling well. She's like, I'm feeling fine.
I'm feeling fine.
Maybe
Gary Baumgarten.
Maybe she's in Damascus.
Gary Baumgarten's trying to have me fired.
Oh.
Oh, no, she was calling to apologize about Lisa being late. Oh, look at that. And we've got that woman trained after all. Maybe we've broken her will once and for all. Let me read some of these. Let's see. Rick, you must now please, please, please put up an MP3 of your Mel Gibson special report on your website. I have to hear Scotty J as Mel Gibson. I think I'm gonna make that one of my, I think I might actually make that one of my cell phone.
You motherfucker. I'm going to f*** you.
I cannot believe that.
It's fantastic. Here's the thing about the Mel Gibson story, is that every hour or so, they were updating a story. Drudge Report, and people give Drudge a lot of crap, because sometimes he just, I'm not going to say he fabricates things, but he doesn't always necessarily source things. Matt Drudge doesn't always necessarily wait for everything to be confirmed. He's very much a Walter Winchell type. When he did this just in, dot, 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 you know, and he just spits it out as soon as he gets it. But I got to tell you, man, it was like an unfolding cavalcade of hilarity and horrors with that Mel Gibson story. Because about every 90 minutes, they were adding some new fresh inanity to this list of crap that he had been spewed. Like this, the...
My life is...
So, when Mount Hood College telephones you for a progress report on what Scotty's been up to.
Seriously, this should go on your... No, this should absolutely go on your demo reel.
The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
We'll have to provide them with a transcript.
He always sounds like Clyde playing Santa Claus.
Seriously, as we go to sit down with the general manager later to make his employment permanent, that'll be Exhibit A. That'll be... No, listen. Listen to all the great work he's done for us in the midday show. Let's see. What else do we have? There's a bunch of questions for
you. Bet all Scotty's relatives are listening today. see how the youngsters are doing.
Mom, listen to the radio program. I bet my relatives are listening too. And what kind of a radio show is this? Rick, nice photo from the wedding. Question, did you guys purposely make the crap this wedding sucks, I'd rather be playing Xbox face? Well, I said if you go to my site, and I'm not going to drone on about it, but there's the photo of myself and my brother and the best men, the groomsmen, posing in our wedding suits. But it was the end of a very long, hot day. And
was the temperature?
I don't know what it was on Saturday. I mean, it wasn't that hot, but of course you're way up in the mountains, so there's no cloud cover, there's no trees, you're right there in the sun, and of course we're wearing 14 layers of clothing, and we're walking around from place to place. Oh, and this is, and they thought it was a charming touch at this house, where they held the wedding, this sort of, this big lodge, you know. They thought it was a charming touch to have bumblebees everywhere, apparently because they think that they make a pleasant buzzing sound or whatever. So we're having the wedding down in a fountain, which is ringed by some sort of very fragrant flower, like a lilac or whatever. And I don't know exactly how they do this, because they must actually bring in or specially breed bumblebees in that area. Like, you know, you can do that with ladybugs. This sounds weird, but you can actually go to a gardening place and you can actually buy bagfuls of ladybugs live, just tens of thousands of ladybugs in a bag to release in your garden because they kill aphids and so forth. They must do that with bumblebees for some sort of ambiance, because as we're there during the wedding, literally there's thousands of bumblebees, like a cloud of bumblebees surrounding us. And they don't bite or anything, but they're also not afraid of you, and so at any given point, your suit is crawling with bees.
Oh, no. Maybe they ran out of doves.
Maybe. Rick, listen to this. I saw you at the wedding, says Ron. I rode my bike by the wedding twice on my way to and from Larch Mountain. Yes, exactly.
Now you're starting to have problems with them.
Hoping to catch me in the shrubs on a stained mattress. I wondered who had rented the roadhouse from the infamous couple that owns the place. Now I know whose wedding it was. Since none of the attendees attempted to kill me, unlike standard Portland auto drivers, I wish the nuptialists all the best. Love the show. Ron. What else do we have here? For the love of everything holy, don't forget to ask Jim Roop about his motorcycle pink panty flasher chasing adventure. I've been waiting all weekend for the thrilling conclusion, because I have no life. Whatever. All right, we should break here. It's 503-733. When is Roop? 2 o'clock?
2:30.
2:30? Okay. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We have come back. We have more from Tim Riley at the City Desk. We have some cruise news you cannot possibly use. We've got a little update from R&R Magazine, the brand new single from Storm and the Balls, and an interview with Storm herself coming up. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Where do you get four?
The sign has two sides.
Oh, it's a sign and a sandwich board.
Yeah.
You're so cruel.
Me? It was your idea.
Yes. My idea wasn't quite as demeaning as yours.
Well, if we're going to do it, we've got to go all out.
That's so scary. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll go to the City Desk with Tim Riley here in just a few. No, it's going to be genius. Later on, we got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian who will be joining us. I meant to buy his book last week. I got to go do that. I meant to impress him by being ahead of the curve on that. We'll have Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin on with us later. Coming up, probably in this segment, we will debut the brand new single from Storm and the Balls, handed to me personally by Davey Nipples, who is musical director for the Balls. So we will have the new Storm and the Balls single this segment. What else? Oh, and I got this R&R thing that we'll try to get to later on. Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here as well. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the
You had no idea what you were doing there.
I didn't. I lost my...
whole thing just sputtered to a halt right there.
From the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat Tim Riley reporting. A studio executive was way out of line for scolding Lindsay Lohan for absences from the set of her new movie, that from the teen actress's mother. Last week, James G. Robinson, CEO of Morgan Creek Productions, sent a letter about her behavior on the movie set and doubted her absence was related to heat exhaustion. We should have Scotty voice this, too. He could be...
should have Scotty from now on do, like, an artist recreation. Mm-hmm. Like, an artist, you know, when he's... Like, when they, you know, when they talk about, like, you'll watch a Discovery Channel, it's like, scientists are one day hoping to engineer a space squid to pull, you know, to pull spacecraft into the furthest reaches of our cosmos. And then they will have a picture of the space squid, and it's done in, like, bad, like, watercolor chalk. And in the bottom, artist rendering, not actual picture of space squid. This, Scotty J. should now be the artist rendering of all... didn't we have... And speaking of which, don't we have other Mel Gibson cuts? Not actually of Gibson himself.
Oh, we have some from the Anti-Defamation League.
Well, so let's go back to those in a second after this Lindsay Lohan story.
Okay.
Well, all right. So this is her mom?
Yeah, her mom says, the wording of the letter was ridiculous. She says...
Oh, please. It's not... You know, I think somebody needs to be taking responsibility for raising a drugged-out tramp of a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A skeleton of her former self.
Literally. I mean, look, I think it's kind of sexy that she looks like she's about to die and all, but I mean, but then again, I'm not the one who's got like a $10 million movie riding on her bony little, shoulders. Mm-hmm. So, have you seen that? Was it on your website, actually? That photo of her where she looks like, seriously, she's all jaundiced.
She is not looking well.
Well, they say...
And now she's running around with some, you know, like, older guy just everywhere, like, out all night, every night.
Yeah, you know, and people say jaundiced, and that's like people say, literally and ironically. When people say jaundiced, they don't usually use it correctly. They use it to mean sick-looking in any way or pale or whatever. Jaundiced means you're yellow, when you've got the yellow hue to your skin, and I think it's because... I forget exactly what causes that, but it's something that your kidneys and your body, you're just not getting rid of waste. It's piling up like it. See, look at that photo right there. That is like Night of the Living Dead, Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not even really yellow so much as it is just like the color of spoiled milk. And then she's got these like deep sunken black eyes. And I know I'm making her sound really hot with white skin and like dark ringed eyes, which I find kind of a turn on in most women, but she looks like she should be covered with flies. And, I mean, the only thing missing is a bunch of guys running after her with shovels and a grave. It's a bad, bad photograph. And
the wig's not bad.
You can find that at sarahxdillon.blogspot.com. And she's looking out from behind a curtain as though she's Lily Munster peering out from a shroud at the top of 1313 Mockingbird Lane. I mean, the only thing that's missing is a little word bubble above her head with like a whole, you know, I smell brains. And she would be perfect. So it's sort of zombie Lohan right now. Well, in fact, I'm far enough away from the monitor that it actually looks like she's wearing sunglasses. It doesn't even really look like her actual
eyes. I thought
she
was wearing sunglasses.
No, they're not. Those are her eyes.
Oh, she has raccoon eyes.
But yeah. But raccoon eyes. Look, here's a perfect example. Here's a yin and yang. And I only make this observation for demonstrative purposes. But there are a handful of women who work at CBS Radio who favor a sort of, what's the word? A rather pronounced style of makeup. And sometimes you will see very heavy eyeliner, which is not really a goth thing as such, but it's supposed to be, you know, a little aggressive, a shade more than you would just see on somebody working at a bank or whatever, which is kind of a sexy. Guys, you know, this is kind of a, you know, it looks kind of cool.
Right. You want to sell an annual and you get a little wink.
Seriously.
It works. It works for them. We're all here because it does.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. In the
Look,
course
I,
of business.
If I wear these boots, will you buy run of station? but this is not that, though. This Lindsay Lohan. Seriously, it looks
no,
like...
No, there's no comparison.
It looks like she ought to be covered in worms. I mean, it's bad, man. I don't think... Look, I'm the king of the I'd hit that brigade, but not anymore. I mean, there was a time when I would have, as the kids say, I would have hit that like the fist of an angry god. But that time has passed. I don't care how much Lindsay Lohan cleans up. I don't care what deeks out. There's not enough soap in the world to hose that ick away, sister. So, I mean, yeah, No, thank you. No, I'm going to pass on that. So Lindsay Lohan's mom needs to be asking herself a series of long, painful questions about how her daughter turned out this way, I think.
Well, she said, quote, Lindsay was in 105 degree weather saying, "Mommy, mommy, I feel sick like I'm going to faint."
Uh-huh.
She took herself to the hospital. She has asthma and extreme cold.
Asthma.
And can't breathe.
You know, am I the only one who disbelieves about 80% of the people who say they have asthma? People say they have asthma, and my first response is, it's like when people say they have Epstein-Barr. You know, what do you have? I have chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, drink some coffee and shut the hell up.
The best thing about that article is that this is her mother talking about her, and she keeps calling her a 19-year-old girl. Lindsay Lohan's 20. She doesn't even know her daughter's age, and she's sitting here.
Clearly, they spend so much quality time together.
Yeah.
All right. And Lindsay Lohan's, didn't she also issue a bunch of flat denials that she takes the drugs?
Yeah, because she said that she'd never do that because her father, she saw what it did to her father.
Because her dad's a coke fiend or something?
Yeah, he was.
Because that's usually the way it works. When your parents are strung-out junkies, you usually stay away from that. In no time do you ever also become a strung-out junkie.
There are more and more stories about her coming out. I mean, she's not doing so
and
well.
She looks like way, way, way older than 20. And not in a good way. Not in a whole, like, you're very mature for your age. You seem very grown up and woman-like. Not in the way that Audrey Hepburn did. She looks like she's about ready to be covered with dirt. So, all right, there you go. Lindsay Lohan.
This comes to us from Sarah Dillon. This is apparently some contest from Break.com, which reads, "Where is Siri Cruz Holmes?"
I read about this.
We want to know.
It's a tabloid, and I'm unclear about whether it's just an online tabloid or whether there's a print edition. I believe it's just an online news service.
No, because a lot of the print editions actually get all their pictures from the paparazzi who sell them to these websites.
All right.
So it's this big messed up network.
But they're offering $100,000 for anybody who can get a picture of the Cruz baby, which apparently, as Leah Remini said, is regulation size, but which no one else has seen. There was that story on Friday that Jada Pinkett Smith had allegedly seen.
Yeah,
but
just those two people.
Uh-huh. So, and the differing differing accounts of what the baby looks like, whether it's got the...
It has a head of thick black hair.
See, we've started to hear, I can only speak for this program, but I believe it is the same for kooky radio hosts across the country. I believe we've exhausted all of the jokes we can possibly make about no one seeing the baby.
Well, it's getting frustrating. I thought by now they would have actually buckled and shown it somewhere.
If it's got fins or something, just come on. Just,
we're going to find out eventually.
Yeah, Siri, if your baby's got a blowhole, you can't hide that forever. You know what I mean? You know, if it's got a third arm or something, that's the sort of thing
metal plate in its head.
It's going to...
I still think they're working on a stunt baby. The papers haven't gone through yet. They're just kind of hiding out.
Is this some... Okay, here's the only other conceivable possibility that I've thought of. Do you suppose it's this? Do you suppose it's a sort of rope-a-dope to where... By that I mean... Do you suppose that they are waiting and denying us the baby? Because now I'm starting to become personally angered by it, which is the retarded thing about it. I'm starting to have all this personal investment in a baby. I don't even like children. I hate babies. But every day I wake up and I start scanning the news. Has the Cruz baby been seen? Well, no! You know, and then I come to work and it just casts a pallor over the whole day. So do you suppose that they're holding back and holding back and holding back and then they're going to demand like $1 million?
No, because they already went through the demands, and they got offered like $3 million for a picture.
Really? By
and then
who?
From some tabloid, and then they pulled back at the last minute because they said they didn't want their baby to be photographed. So
don't they understand that we need show material here?
Yeah, I don't think it's a question of money. I think it's a little freak baby, and we deserve to see it.
It's a little freak baby.
I mean, come on, obviously, if they don't believe in any medication and that poor girl's been trapped in that house for 3 months, that child probably isn't doing very well. Out of speculation.
The hideous oyster boy.
It's a two-headed kitten.
Seriously. We've got 3 hours to fill every day. And it's not just me. Think about the Bubba the Love Sponges of the world. Where are we to get our material if they deny us the Suri baby?
And I guess George Michael stayed home last night.
Well, we were talking about, well, we made this, I can't count on stained mattress. There's an anti-Semitic tirades every day. I need the Cruz baby. Give us the Cruz baby. Well, we had talked...
Should we call Scotty?
We had talked about this last week. We had talked about going down to the... Because there's... Where is it? It's on... what is that street? Is it Salmon? What is that street downtown where the Scientology Center? Or is it Centra?
Isn't like Salmon and Broadway?
It's the Scientology Celebrity Center, Centra. It's down.
Yeah, it's up in that direction.
Hold on, let me find. Let me now summon to the studio.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Genius. Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right. Hey, who is this?
That would be Shannon.
Okay, but who is Shannon?
She's a caller who wants to...
Oh, whenever you put up a full name on the screen, not just the first name. You put up a first and last name, and so right. I always assume that's somebody important. All right, this is... And what is Shannon calling about?
That I don't know because I was summoned.
Oh, I'm... Oh,
it's 708 Southwest Salmon, so it's on 7th.
The Celebrity Center?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Scotty, what are you doing tomorrow about 1 o'clock? Wait, before you answer, let me tell you.
Scotty, first of all, I'm so sorry about this.
Here's the thing. Is that I've grown tired of the Cruise Baby not being made public. And we, I mean, we got this, there's this Scientology Center right down the street from us. It's not that far away because we're on what?
A few blocks away.
We're on 3rd and Columbia, walking distance. So here's what we're going to do tomorrow. Scotty, I've put this off as long as I can. So we're going to equip you with a sign. And Sarah is proposing also a sandwich board for you to wear.
No, you proposed sandwich board, and I said, if not, what? Why just one, if not both?
So, okay, I did propose that you wear a sandwich board. Sarah is also insisting you be equipped with a sign on the end of a stick.
Because he's got to look extra crazy.
So we're going to have you go down and demand to see the Cruise Baby tomorrow.
But you have to pick it outside.
You're going to pick it.
I see.
You're going to pick it, and we need a chant for you, though. But the problem is that nothing rhymes with Suri. Except for, like,
blurry.
Midori. And that blurry. See, the...
Flurry.
The flurry. We need news in a flurry. Give us baby Suri.
Curry, right?
Curry.
Curry. With favor with us, you must curry. Give us baby Suri. That's okay. But because it's not just us. It is all retarded radio personnel on all radio stations
not
everywhere.
Not to mention the Scientologists must be getting pretty pissed because they're looking
seriously.
Crazy.
Seriously.
And they're not able to see the baby. So all of them are looking like freaks.
Exactly. All right. So here's what we're going to need you to do. And I'll get the phones covered. We'll have Kristen Bowie come in and cover the phones. So tomorrow, and feel free to join in with Scotty J
Please
tomorrow.
Please do. 708 Southwest Salmon.
Look how you're already armed with the address.
1 o'clock.
No, but this is for journalism. This is for the people. So tomorrow at 1 p.m.,
Scotty.
And Rick,
how are we going to document this experience?
No, I believe I can wrangle a film, like a photographer or somebody with a camera.
No, you're not the photographer.
No, I have a camera.
No,
I'll get that taken care of. You just worry about the marching and the chanting. So here's what you need to come up with. This is your assignment, Scotty.
We're going to provide the sandwich board and the sign.
In the next 23 hours, you need to come up with a series of chants. To use outside the Scientology Center as you demand the presence of the Cruise Baby.
And you better let him use your bullhorn tomorrow.
Right.
I forgot that the bullhorn even existed.
And we need to get the people involved with these chants.
Thank you so much. Look at you playing to the people. Look at you giving the call to action to the phone. What's the phone number, Scotty? That was John and Jeff. Ask what you just did. Rick, what we need to do is get the people, perhaps, to weigh in on these chants, perhaps via the phone.
Well, Scotty just doesn't want to be down there by himself. Can't blame him.
Yeah.
How about give us the snzz, crew, baby,
Cruise.
Don't, something, maybe, baby. See, this is a problem. Suri, it's like they've deliberately chosen names that we can't rhyme with anything.
None of
these rhyme with hell no or overcome.
Well, how about rhyming something, you know, with booze and cruise, you know, like we need booze in order to face Tom
That's
Cruise.
A stupid idea.
Okay.
Quit weighing in. All right, so it's, if you...
Maybe I just need the booze, that's
no,
it.
No, we'll give you the chant. You just worry about the walking around. All right, I'll see you.
You should totally pretend to be a Scientologist while you're out there, too.
Don't
scare
pretend.
Scare people away.
Don't take any tests while you're there. Don't take any tests.
Don't let them bring you
don't
inside.
Don't answer any questions about... If they ask you, like, are you happy at work, lie and say yes. Say that you are satisfied and that you are stress-free. Don't take any quizzes or anything. Don't walk inside. Don't look at their eyes. Don't look at the light. Keep your hands and feet away from their mouths while you're there.
What if they ask to hook up the electrodes? You know,
don't hold anything. If they hand you some stuff that looks like Krylon cans, say no. Don't even take your wallet. If you're going to the... Don't... Just leave your wallet here. Don't take any money. Forget your credit card number.
Perhaps you'd like to hold on to it.
Yes, I would. All right. Well, we've got some calls here. Okay, thank you, Scotty.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Scotty J. Scotty J, who will be...
That sounds easy enough.
He will be demanding that they produce the Cruise Baby tomorrow at 1 p.m. We'll just go ahead and take these as they come in. It's 503-733-2... 970. I've put this off as long as I could. This really is the nuclear option. I feel like we've been given no choice. And again, this is not just for us and our need for radio inanity, but all of us who broadcast on the radio.
It's just getting frustrating.
The constant turnover of retarded show material that constantly needs refreshing and added to. All right, 503-733-2970. Coming up here in a while, we got the new single from Storm and the Balls. We'll talk to Storm herself, et cetera. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Maurice. Hello, Maurice.
Hello there.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Real good, thank you.
Maurice is a great name, by the way. Is that, is a dumb question, is that Italian or French or something? What is Maurice?
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
Well, kind of Frenchish.
All right, way to fall down there. All right, what do you got, brother? What do you got?
Well, it's, We're in a Fury. Give us Baby Surrey.
Okay, okay. That's not bad. Okay,
I'll write him down, Rick, if you want.
Okay, yes, please do. We're in a Fury. Give us Baby Surrey.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Maurice.
Have fun.
All right, there you go. Now, who's making the sandwich board and the sign?
I will.
Okay, I'll get the stick.
All right, if you get the stick and the twine, I'll buy the paper and some markers today.
Such a low-budget operation. Let's put on a show. Let's see. Hello, Janice. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Janice.
Hello. Hey, how about we need Baby Surrey in a hurry?
Surrey in a hurry. That's like, is that like a scrap and a snap and stitch?
Yeah, well, you know.
Stitch and a snitch or something? All right.
Sure.
We need Baby Surrey in a hurry.
Now, are these things he should be chanting or are these things I should put on the sandwich board?
That's true, because we need something for the sign and then something for him to chant.
Chant that one.
Maybe he could just sing the Top Gun theme over and over and over
again. We have to equip him with a boombox.
He can walk around the Days of Thunder theme from a boombox. That's genius. Man, we'll get that morning show yet.
We're in a Fury, give us Baby Surrey. Sounds like the sign that he could be holding.
Seriously. I'm so ashamed of the way I make a living. we'll be on those Rover affiliates any day now. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. David. Hello, David. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. I've got your chance for you.
Okay.
Real simple. We want the news. Show us Surrey Cruz.
Okay.
We want the news. Show us Surrey Cruz. All right. I could see that. Maybe there's some way we could play off one of his film, like you had me at, hello, you complete me, complete us, give us, there's something, you know, you...
I got nothing.
Show me the baby.
Show me the baby! Show me the baby! That's genius. Okay, write down. That's going on either one of the signs. Or okay, thank you, sir. Show me the baby.
With a little cutout picture of Cuba Gooding Jr.'s head.
It's fantastic. Show me the baby. That really is genius. Take a little bow there. Tyson, hello, sir.
Hey.
Hello.
How about... Prove to me it's not a ruse. Show us the Tiny Mutant Cruz.
Tiny Mutant Cruz. Tiny Mutant. Where are you calling from, sir?
A tractor, believe it or not.
A tractor? Where are you at?
I'm in Salem, the armpit of Oregon.
Excellent. Well, thank you. What kind of a field are you in?
Grass.
Okay, excellent. Are you at work or is this your own place? What are you doing?
This is my dad's place.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, sir. Tiny Mutant Cruz. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
No problem.
There you go. Show us the baby.
Nate just sent me one.
Oh, which is what?
Don't make me worry. Show me Baby Surrey. The story seems blurry. Show us in a hurry.
Okay.
Yeah, that's too long.
No, that's a little bit too much. That's a little bit too much of an idea there. All right. Mike, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Mike.
Yes, it is.
I think instead of a sign, he should just have a giant baby doll on a stick, you know, and hold that up.
That seems like a veiled threat of some kind. That seems like we're threatening to impale the baby if it displeases us in some fashion,
or if it is
not regulation size. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, thanks.
All right. There you go. Now, babies on sticks is probably to be avoided at this juncture, sir.
It's
the baby?
Not a jalapeno, after all.
Kevin, hello.
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
You ready for this one?
Yes, I am, sir.
Don't you know that we all lose until you show us Baby Cruz?
See, Johnny Cochran has really shown us the way here. This Johnny Cochran and Jesse Jackson have shown us the ability of a well-placed rhyme, just the right meter. You know, it all works out. All right, thank you, sir.
I'm just saying.
All right, thank you, sir.
See ya.
Okay, I've got a couple via email here, and these are really great, by the way. This is from Todd the Corpse.
Come on!
2468, prove your baby isn't fake. That's a chant there. How about this one? In the name of L. Ron Hubbard, take Baby Surrey out of the cupboard.
I like that.
I'm writing that
down. Write that down.
I like that.
In the name of L. Ron Hubbard, take Baby Surrey out of the cupboard.
That sounds like a chant.
L. Ron Hubbard went to the cupboard to... No, I'm trying to make it too bad. Too good. How about this? And then he just signs... His email's just signed, sorry. How about this? We demand on behalf of COIN to show us the fruit of Tom Cruise's loins. Hello. Okay.
On the back of Scotty's sandwich board, can I write Free Katie?
Free Katie? Yes. Yes.
I feel so bad for her.
I know. Well, it's okay.
Okay.
Show me the baby. I just keep going back to that. Did you ever do this? Did you ever, and this happens to me late at night, sometimes in a bike ride, though. Did you ever have a joke or something funny that occurs to you, and sometimes when you're alone, you'll say it out loud to yourself and over again and just giggle a lot? Lara fell into this phase in her life where, and I don't think it's a thing he even says, but she, this is so confusing, but Lara, my wife, she was convinced that there was a scene in an Adam Sandler film in which he said the phrase, "I could really go for some milk duds." Now, I do not believe that Adam Sandler ever actually said that, but she somehow had it in her head that Adam Sandler at one point said, "I could really go for some milk duds." And she has this false memory, but of him saying this. But she actually sometimes, she has confessed to me that she will be driving around in the car or on the bicycle, and she will just say to herself out loud over and over again, "I could really go for some milk duds," and then like erupt in peals of laughter for no readily apparent reason, which is the sort of thing that would make you look like a crazy person if anybody was there. About Show Me the Baby, Sarah is a genius. 5 more push-ups for Rick for not thinking of it first. No, but thank you, sir. Let's see. Joe, hello there.
Yeah, the chant, the perfect chant is don't say no, don't say maybe, show us that effing baby.
I think profanity might, I don't really know that it's going to help us with our cause. Perhaps we could work in a freaking or a gosh darn in there somewhere.
Well, who cares? The whole object's to offend everybody and make news for your kooky radio show.
There go. Fantastic. Would you like a show between 9 and noon, sir? All right. Thank you, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Make news for your kooky radio show. How about
That'd
this?
That'd be great if we were in New York and rappers are getting shot outside the studio. That might go well, will it?
That's Tim Riley who said that, by the way. We do not wish for there to be shooting outside our studio. how about this? We're sad and have no life. Show off the offspring of Tom and his wife. Okay,
that's
well,
good.
There's something there. That's from Mary.
They're not married, though.
That's from Marianne Rambo. Let's see. What else? The best part is how at no point, I think we've sufficiently broken Scotty J's will that at no point did he protest the idea or object to being wrapped in a sandwich board and sent downtown to march outside the Celebrity Center of the Scientology Group with a bullhorn chanting something about Baby Suri. Like, at no point did he didn't even bat an eye, which is both great and terrible. Show me the baby. Let's see. I'm sorting through the email here before I take, show us Baby Suri or feel our fists of fury. No, again, that sort of seems like a we're going to burn Watts kind of a thing. Rick, you will be the hero of all musical theater fans if you can work in the phrase Suri with the fringe on top. No.
No.
No, sir. That's not going to happen. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Max, hello, sir.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, I've got it.
All right, sir. What is your chance, sir?
So what if it's plump and furry? Show us Baby Suri.
So what is plump and furry?
So what if it's plump and furry?
What if it's covered in fur? All right, plump and furry, give us Baby Suri. All right, excellent. Thank you, Max.
Later, man.
All right, there you go. All right, we should break here. Oh, we haven't played the Storm song. Do you want to do that in
She's
the break?
In
should
today.
We do it when we come back?
We do it as we're coming back?
Well, we're waiting on Storm herself right now. And she's in USA Today today.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. In the blue section.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. Okay. We come back. Here's what we've got. We've got Jim Roop coming up. We've got Jim Roop. We, I believe, are going to have Storm Large for our Storm Watch today. And we do have the brand new single from Storm and the Balls. I got that in my hand. So we will play that sometime today. We're still looking for a chant for Scotty J, who tomorrow at 1 p.m. will be outside the Scientology Center demanding that they show us the cruise baby, which, as Leah Remini says, is of regulation size. We wish to inspect the size personally, though. 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. Stay right there.